Hello, everyone, and welcome to Toonami Therapy on July 23rd of 2020. I am Michael.
I'm Tommy.
And we're here to discuss some of the anime we've been watching, a few shows of which actually air on Toonami. Mm-hmm. I think that's like going to be the new intro now. I've been trying for so long to find a good way to, you know, an intro, and I think that's what we're going to do. Although, if we start watching a bunch of Toonami shows again, then it's going to not work as well. Maybe we should only stick with two, but one of them is ending, so I don't know how we'll do that. We'll see. So, we've also got a new show we're checking out, as well as two that are ending of the non-Toonami stuff. But we'll get to that in due time. So we'll start with the Toonami stuff. We got Paranoia Agent, episode 11. So, is this 11 or 12? I'm sorry, episode 12. I goofed that up. So the younger detective guy who, remember, got fired, and I think this is the first time we've seen him since then, is fighting against Lil Slugger, who is no longer even remotely little. Maybe he's like just decided, you know, oh, that little thing, you know, there's too many rappers that have that name. I'm going to like go for Big instead, because, you know, there's some, but there's not as many. I can think of a bunch of guys that start with Lil, but Big, not so much. I mean, I guess there's Big Sean, but yeah, that's all I've got, unless you want to count Notorious B.I.G.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm sorry, Notorious Chase.
Yep.
All right. So he's fighting against Lil Slugger. Let's see. And he's trying to do some investigation. And oh man, this part is difficult to explain. But apparently, they find that there is a similar case from before. Then they mention that again. That Moromi and Lil Slugger are the same thing, which before I thought it meant, last episode when they said it, I thought it meant metaphorically, but no, it seems they're trying to say, yes, they're the same entity somehow. Basically a bunch of it is trying to, you know, escape from or fight the now giant Lil Slugger. We do, that detective guy, the older one, Ikari, was that it?
Yeah.
He shows up again, so he wasn't written out, so that's good. So he's back, but, oh golly, I have so much trouble remembering exactly what, how to describe this. But it seems like this is such a hard show to describe sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's basically it. We're moving into the final conclusion of the series. Obviously, because there's one episode left.
Yep. So ends next week with that special schedule that I sent to you. Did you take a look at that?
I took a glance at it, but I didn't look hard. I didn't look hard enough at it. Let me double check that. It was I see what you're saying, but where they've where everything's going half an hour. Well Paranoia Agent starts at 12:40, then Mob Psycho 100 at 1:15, then Black Clover 1:50. So, you know, until it eventually just, you know, comes to Naruto at 3. So, yeah.
Yeah, so they're having that Adult Swim con, and supposedly, there's going to be something which causes all those shows to, like, there must be like 5-minute segments in between each show. That's what I'm assuming that's going to happen. So we may or may not cover what happens. We'll see if they announce anything good in the first couple of hours.
Oh yeah, you're right in the way you described it, because I didn't when you sent the schedule to me, I didn't really look at the times. I just saw the order and said, oh, they have something in the middle. And then I didn't like look any closer and see the times. And then when I glanced at it this time, I wasn't looking at them. You're right, they are 35 minutes. What I was thinking was that they were actually just moving things backward to compensate for the 10-minute special anime short. So I don't know how that's going to work out. That'll be weird. But yeah, I guess they'll be announcing stuff.
Yeah. They better be, or else it's going to be a major waste of time.
Well, we do have Paranoia Agent ending, Mob Psycho 100, which I just noticed they misspelled it as Mob Psycho 101. I didn't notice that before. Mob Psycho 101.
I wish I could see my own email. Oh, well. That's pretty funny. Yeah.
Yeah. Although, yeah, so I will be getting some things. I guess we'll find out there. But getting back to Paranoia Agent, I don't know if I have that much to say about it, because a lot of this is really going to depend on the payoff in the final episode.
Yeah.
Like, this is the setup. What's going to happen? What's the conclusion? Because that will be... that'll decide things.
Yeah.
So we'll see, because one thing I've noticed about Paranoia Agent looking so far is it seems like the individual episodes are good. But I look at the series as a whole and it just doesn't seem to really come together very well.
Yeah.
That's the issue with it. And if it finishes off with a good, strong ending that manages to actually tie everything together, that'll be great. But right now, it just seems like we've had all this stuff, and they've been individually entertaining, but have not added up to more of a real show. For example, I'm left wondering the episode with the people trying to commit suicide, I was just like, how did that fit into anything? It felt like...
Yeah, that didn't make any sense. It just kind of...
Even Lil Slugger, like, doesn't even really matter in the episode.
Yeah, yeah.
No, maybe there'll be another reference to the next one. We'll see, but, yeah. And that's the other thing in the episodic nature, because you're seeing all these characters from previous episodes, and I'm thinking, wait, I can't remember anything about these. Which one was which again?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, we'll probably have a lot more to say in the last episode. So we got Black Clover episode 125. In which the Black Bulls get back to their base, except it needs to be except you don't know him, the Henry guy, the guy with all the hair who always speaks like this, like which legit his voice, he wasn't talking that much in the episode we saw before, but in this one I'm just realizing his voice, he sounds like someone doing a parody. Almost of talking, but except he can't remember, he's the one who can control it, and he can't remember exactly how to put it back, so there's some stuff there, and it doesn't really matter because this whole episode is filler anyway. Which I didn't tell you about that beforehand, because I remember way back when we were talking about Naruto, some of them we were thinking, well, you know, maybe if we didn't know this was filler, we'd enjoy it more. So I don't know if that helped you at all with the episode, but you figured out it was filler anyway.
Yeah, it didn't take very long. I was like, wait a minute. And then, so, I mean, it was all nice and fun, but it didn't advance the plot any. So we got Noelle acting like a parody of a Tsundere character in this episode.
The other thing to notice is when, like, for example, the random beasts managed to beat the Black Bulls, and I was just thinking, okay, it's another sign this was filler, because you saw how strong they were in the previous arc, and now, oh, these just random beasts they have beat them. Okay, that was the main thing. I mean, some of the jokes were kind of funny, but really, it was filler. Thankfully, the next episode, I know Gum's back, which is good, because I was actually, I wanted to see the next episode, looked it up, and like, oh no, there's a filler episode first. Then I think we're going to be getting into a filler arc. I don't know when. I know it's soon-ish, but it's a weird one because apparently, because they had to do that, because we can't overtake the manga, and I guess we can't make this seasonal for some reason. Yeah. Apparently, because there is a time skip in the manga, and apparently the author of the manga, like, communicated with them and saying, okay, well, here's some stuff that happened there, and you can cover it, and so it'll be kind of canon? But yeah, so that's Black Clover. Not anything else to really talk about on Toonami, because that's the stuff we watched. Alright, so I guess we can skip to the non-Toonami stuff, including one of the series that just ended, Shangri-La episode 24. So, do you want to cover this one, or?
Yeah, sure, I'll cover it. Basically, you've got, the conclusion of the series where Mikuni is in there with Ryoko, and they're going to put in the knives to, I don't know, they're going to do the thing with the knives, and Kuniko shows up, and she kind of fights against them, and then Kuniko decides she's going to put them in, and then it looks for a second like Kuniko has been possessed, but in reality she wasn't, and then she goes and kills Ryoko, and then there's a big battle going on between that one guy, that hairy guy, and the one of the four guys who had betrayed them, and he basically is able to defeat that guy. And as a result, the world is not going to come to an end. And Ryoko's defeated. But Karin has lost all her money. And she's now flat broke. And she lost her parents too. So this is terrible for her. But showing up for the first time in person are Clarice and Zhang, and they turned out to be a lot older than she thought they were, and I guess they're there to hang out with her now, and yeah, everything's okay. And as I said last time, the word Shangri-La would come up. And as I tried to hint at it, it would be the very, very, very last word of the entire series. So Shangri-La doesn't appear in the series until the very last line. And there you go. I love this show. I still love it, even seeing it a second time, even looking at it with a critical eye. I still love it. And I won't back down from that stance. So I don't know what you thought of it, but I will continue to love it.
Well, I really like some parts of it, but other parts not so much. Some of the stuff it spent time on felt kind of pointless in retrospect, or it kind of felt like it had the sort of pacing problem I've seen in a number of series, where it's basically they spend too much time on things earlier and it kind of drags, and then all of a sudden they have to shove a bunch of stuff at you in the last few episodes, and it doesn't work. And if it had been paced out a little more, it could have worked better. For example, I'll admit maybe I just wasn't paying enough attention or whatever, but I'm still confused about a lot of the backstory of the series. So they were sacrificing people to appease something, but then it got... Why wasn't Kuniko... by the way, why wasn't Kuniko taken over? Because she pretends to be, but why wasn't she?
I'd have to go back and watch it again.
And I'm kind of confused because there's that part where she's fighting all those people, and I'm again confused, like, who are these people? What's this going on? I mean, I understand, okay, she needs to win this, but, and I don't know, maybe part of this was my fault. I feel like maybe there were some parts I didn't pay as much attention to as I should have. And maybe because I watched this over a longer period rather than like more marathoning, or something. But like when I'm saying things seemed rushed, like here's an example. There's a part where Medusa gets beaten. Why? Because Karin managed to use her hacking skills to defeat it. Except we don't even see that. That happens off screen. We don't get to see any cool moment of her fighting and managing to do it. We just say, oh, she did it. It happened off screen, apparently. I don't know. A few of the things I feel maybe could have been wrapped up a little better. I don't know. I think the biggest problem with the series was pacing, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did start out too slow, definitely.
Yeah, it's just what I've seen, and it's not just the series. It seems to happen so often that a series will be too slow paced, and then all of a sudden it'll be way too fast paced at the end.
Mm-hmm.
Like I can think of this was very much a problem I thought with the final season of Avatar The Last Airbender, a series I liked, but the first half of it is mostly wasting time, and then the last few episodes are just suddenly like, we have a season's worth of plot points we need to suddenly resolve. Actually, the first season of Legend of Korra, the sequel series, did the same thing, except maybe actually a little worse, but anyway. Let's see. Was there any thing else I wanted to say? Well, one other comment I had. It's kind of funny because so when Karin's like feeling sort of after having beaten Medusa and such and is feeling kind of sad, then Claris and Zhang was his name, or
yeah
they show up and he says, oh well, I chartered a private flight to get here. And I was just like, but in the last few hours there's been chaos everywhere. How did you, during all that, you decided to get a flight and visit? or were we supposed to understand that took place later? I don't know.
I think it did take place a little later than what had just happened. So,
I don't know. But I just felt a lot of the series felt kind of confusing to me. That would be the biggest criticism. I felt it went too slowly at first, and then kind of as a result of potentially the sort of rushing, it got very confused with me not really understanding a bunch of the specifics. It makes me wonder if some of these things just worked out better in novel form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately, though, there's no translation of any of this stuff, so we will never know the manga or the light novels of this series. So,
well, you could learn Japanese. You know, I took a semester and a half of a year and a half of Japanese at college, and I've forgotten most of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think the problem I just feel is that, well, it was an extremely fast-paced course. I even saw someone, oh, it's one of the most fast-paced, you know, Japanese courses in the country. And I'm like, well, no wonder I forgot everything. We never bothered to review anything. It was just like, you got this? Okay, new thing. You got that? Next thing.
Mm-hmm.
That looking back, when I remember all those years now of Spanish, we always start each year or semester, started from the beginning and went forward. Now, each year you went through the basics faster and faster and faster until by, like, I think like the fifth semester, it was like, okay, here's a review of the, this is like the basic tenses. All right, moving onward. You know, like you spend like one day on it and then move on. So, yeah. Ugh. It is a little surprising, I guess, it hasn't been translated, but I guess there's probably not a huge demand for it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, then we've got Excel World, episode 13. All right, so Chiru gets the Brain Burst program transferred into her. They find out that her special ability is healing, which is apparently super rare.
Yeah, it was like we needed a healing character, so we decided that C was going to fill that role for the series.
I just reminded, there's this goofy song I saw on YouTube, this kind of song about World of Warcraft. It was to the tune of Weird Al's song, That's Your Horoscope for Today. And it was called That's the World of Warcraft That You Play. And it just kind of went through the different classes in the game and kind of, you know, talked about them while being sort of goofily critical. I have never played World of Warcraft. I have no idea how accurate it was. But I just remember for the priest class, it was like saying, you may think that you're a shadow priest, but you will always be reduced to being the heal bot in your raids. The joke being that priests just stick around and heal everyone and don't do anything else.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, that's a useful game mechanic.
Yep.
Okay, so we get that. Kuroyuki Hime with the other upperclassmen are going on a school trip for a week. So she's going to be gone, and it's up to the main characters to, I guess, safeguard their territory. Then there's this other person who they think might have some kind of brain burst power, but then they test it out and he doesn't seem to. So obviously he's going to have something special going on with him. So what do you want to bet? It'll just be some explanation. Oh, I just was able to conceal it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I was trying to figure out on that speech that Kuroyuki Hime was giving, like, was there anything insightful or important in that speech, or was it just a bunch of nonsense?
Which speech are you talking about?
Is this whenever the
one
she's standing in front of the whole school and giving a speech?
Oh, the one where she's giving the speech to the student body. Oh, okay. Yeah. I can't even remember a single part of it. Honestly, I mean, it probably meant as much as all the speeches that that people gave at, you know, our graduation ceremonies, which was nothing. I mean, I cannot remember a single part. I mean, well, actually, to be honest, the graduations are mostly a blur, but people always have the speeches, and I just gotta wonder, how many people actually pay attention, like, care about those? Do even the people who give them, like, care that much about it? I mean, I know they have to know that about 90% of the people, at least, are not going to remember anything you just said.
Yeah, I would say even a higher percentage than that. Yeah, because especially in the days whenever there were no phones around to record stuff, you know, like now it might be important because everyone's got a phone and everyone's recording at all times. But back then, you know, unless someone had an old, you know, VCR thing, you know, I mean, so yeah, I just was wondering if there were any hints in what she was saying, and I was trying to pay attention to see, okay, maybe she's saying something that's important, and we're supposed to notice it, but it didn't seem like it, so, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, a comment I forgot to mention. Chiuri's avatar in it, Lime Bell. When I saw that, I was immediately thinking, wow, that is straight out of JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. That is totally a stand.
Lime Bell.
Yeah. Yeah. That was the name her character had when we saw that one, you know, her healing thing, that looked so much like a stand from JoJo. I mean, I guess looking back, a lot of them kind of look like stands, but her, like they could be stands, but hers especially was just, wow, that is basically a stand.
Yep.
I wonder when we're going to get JoJo back.
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping to find out about on during this Adult Swim con.
Yeah, well, hang on. Actually, let me double check on how many episodes were left. Are left in it. I want to see that so I can maybe try to make a guess at let's see. Okay, so we had 28, and there's a total. Yeah, it looks like we got about 11 episodes left. So, I don't know exactly what pace, but if we say, I don't know, it takes maybe, because of the slowdowns and stuff, 3 weeks to do each episode, that would, then that would mean, actually, the math is too confusing, so never mind. But, I mean, I would think we might be able to be getting some soon, maybe. Okay. So we got that. Then, an ending of another series. We've got Isekai Quartet. So basically, some of the characters take on Destroyer, you know, that thing from Konosuba that got resurrected and is at the end of the previous season and is now re-resurrected. Do you think it'll be back at the end of the third season also?
Yeah, probably.
So basically the episode is mostly them it's kind of switching between them fighting it and the guys putting on the play, which is Cinderella, except all the Cinderella characters are basically kind of acting very much like the people playing them, which was actually pretty funny. Like for example, Ram, who's Cinderella, is just like being dismissive of everything.
Mm-hmm.
Or Megumin, who's the fairy godmother, like starts the whole thing with this overly long incantation.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. And so that's basically it. They put on a Cinderella play. Oh, and there's actually a pretty funny part where Yunyun is doing the Matchstick Girl completely by herself.
Yeah.
By the way, if you look up the Matchstick Girl on Wikipedia, that's totally listed as one of, like, the references, you know, where it says cases, you know, TV shows and stuff where it was referenced, and it mentions that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, that was basically the end of the season. So yeah, I thought it was kind of funny.
And yeah, it was pretty good. Yeah.
Also, I knew that the characters from Cautious Hero were going to show up towards the end of the season. I thought they were going to have a bigger role than appearing for maybe 20 seconds and then walking away. Like that I don't even know if that can count as an advertisement because they don't say who they are.
I didn't even know.
There's a part where there's that guy and that girl who kind of walk by the school, and one of them wants to, you know, look at them, and the guy's like, "No, I'm not interested," and then they just leave, and that's them. They're two characters from the from the anime series Cautious Hero. The premise of that series is there's this hero who's super powerful, but he's also exceedingly cautious and doesn't want to fight anything without crazy preparation. I've heard it was just kind of okay. I saw someone say, well, it's just kind of the same joke over and over. But yeah, I mean, it's not even like an advertisement, really, because it doesn't say who they are. You didn't even realize they were from that show.
Nope. Yeah, I didn't even notice they were in this. I didn't even notice, so it obviously didn't work. So,
yeah, I do. I mean, when they have the Shield Hero characters, at least that is. I mean, they didn't have that big a role, but they were still around some, and you know, you knew who they were. I didn't see too much of Shield Hero, but based on this, I actually did really like Philo, the kind of younger character who can turn into the giant bird. That I liked her. She was kind of cute. Also, I like, oh, the part where Albedo's punching the destroyer really quickly and then she's going aura, aura, aura. That was good. I like that. That took me, I was not expecting that reference. Yeah, not really that much else to say about it. It was just a fun, enjoyable ending to the season. Do you have any overall feelings on the series?
I would say that the first season was a lot better than the second season, and the second season, I don't know, it just relied too much on gimmicks, and what it needed to do was just experience relationships between characters from different series instead of kind of like the way they did it. They kind of like paired off, you know, like the only time you see like four different series together is like in the field day and also like whenever it's the four main heroes. Usually they would have ReZero and Konosuba together and Overlord and Tanya together. And I just thought they needed to mix things up a little bit more. And unfortunately, it didn't turn out as good as I hoped, but it still wasn't bad.
Yeah, that was my other problem. I wish there had been a little more interaction. I do feel like there was some of that towards the end of the season. I like these episodes did a bunch of that, but I wish there had been a bit more of that sort of thing. So that will be, so I don't know, maybe we'll get some of that in season three or maybe not. I mean, even if it wasn't as good as I think it could have been, I mean, I think it was still fun. There were some good jokes here. It was interesting to kind of still see what we did get some of the jokes and such. I'll be honest, I cared a lot more about the characters in Overlord than I did when I watched their actual series. Okay, so yeah. And I assume when the third season comes, we'll watch that. Although, I'm just so, because Funimation still doesn't have the last four episodes of the second season on their site anymore. I don't know why. So I had to watch them all subbed, and it was just, I mean, that's not like bad exactly. It's just not, doesn't, it would have been more in, it's just after seeing them all dubbed, suddenly switching to subbed wasn't the greatest. And it meant there was way more sub stuff I watched this week than normal. Than before, because I usually, like, there was maybe in the past there was maybe one or two, and this time there were three shows. There is this ReZero, because, you know, it's new and stuff, and then well, we'll get to Tales of the Abyss, but yeah, so here we've got and that brings us, speaking of which, to ReZero episode 28. So Subaru meets that they mentioned Echidna, who says she's the Witch of Greed, and just wants to talk to him and such, and then, you know, there is some talking. She's saying, well, you can ask me all the questions you want. And Subaru is like, nah, I just want to go over to back to Amelia. Which is really stupid of him, because you could just, there's so many questions you could be asking, but it was still really funny. And she's like, what? You don't have any questions? People seek me out for questions. Like, well, I just want to get back to Amelia. Maybe we can have tea some other time. So he goes back. They end up in that sanctuary, which it turns out is this place where anyone who has, as they said, I think half blood is unable to exit, which is why, you know, the characters have not been leaving, and some of the people there have been basically keeping the townspeople there hostage until someone can solve the barrier to let them all out. It's now Roswell had mentioned is one of the ones who's trapped there, and because it mentioned you have to also be the sort of half, like the special blood, or, you know, half blood, like half elf or half whatever else, in order to not I don't know if it was necessarily half, because I think maybe it mentioned, I don't know if it said Ram could leave or not, because she, I don't think she's half anything, she's just regular demon, but but then Roswell, like, you know, tried to go through the thing to let everyone out, but couldn't, which means that he's special in that way. And was that ever established? Because I just thought he was just a sort of weird human, but did it ever say or imply he was something special?
Yeah, didn't he fly away back in the first season at one point?
Yeah, but I thought that was just, you know, human magic stuff. Aren't humans can have magic, right? I just assumed that was the case of that. I just don't know if there's anything that indicated he was anything but he was anything but just a regular human that had magic. Well, in any case, we get that now. so, but she does anyway. So Amelia goes in to try to do the trial of sanctuary. Then something happens to her. So Subaru runs in after her, which is apparently wasn't supposed to be able to do, but I guess it's because Echidna said that she changed it so he could do the trial of the sanctuary. So he finds Amelia collapsed, but then some voice says, like, we must go into your past. And then it cuts to him waking up in the regular human world and meeting who is apparently his father. So,
And his father, you know who his father is? It's Ichigo's father from Bleach, because...
It's the same voice?
He just acts the exact same way.
Okay, that's what you meant.
Yeah.
Honestly, I was actually really excited by that, because I remember when I was reviewing the full first season, I was saying, well, like, we don't know anything about Subaru before he came here, really. We don't know anything. But if we're getting a sort of flashback and information on that, I'm like, yeah, that's good. This is exactly what I wanted to see.
Yeah, I'm excited about it, too. Especially given the fact that this episode, all the way up to that point, it kind of bored me to death. it felt like a big info dump. And that's what it, so I was just like, okay, yeah, we okay. And then finally we get that part of the end. I'm like, oh, that's actually pretty interesting. So I hope they spend some time with him in the real world and don't rush that too much. It would be sweet to get to know what his real life is like and see how he responds and maybe how the return by death thing works in the real world. I don't know. There's so many things they can do with it. So I'm very optimistic.
Yeah, I mean, I hope we don't spend too much time on this because, you know, I do want to get back. But just knowing some information about what his life was like before the series started is going to be so is going to be so nice to have, because we had nothing. I mean, I know we didn't get that much for, you know, say Konosuba or Slime, but we got enough. With Subaru, we had nothing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, I guess that'll be, yeah, I mean, I guess now that I think about it, like, what isekai did we have a lot of stuff with them in the main world before going to the alternate one? Cause you know, Slime didn't spend too much time, mostly it just was like, okay, this is what they were like before. Now we'll move into the next world, but which is, I guess, enough. But that was my point, was that we never even really got that with ReZero, the same way we did for Tanya or even Overlord. Yeah. We got some of that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Although, ironically, there's that one show that we were considering picking up and we didn't. I can't remember even what it was called, but it had a weird name. Whatever. I remember because
wait, that show?
It was one of there's that part where you suggested some shows to me and I just watched the first episode of each and picked Excel World and Here, I'm going to double check because I can't remember. And I just remember, let's see. Sorry. I'm just double checking what it was. Oh, El Hazar and the Wanderers. I watched the first episode and they like, the first episode is just random stuff in the real world, and then they just go to the alternate world at the very end. And I was like, well, you didn't get... Well, Excel World did a much better job getting my interest in the first episode, so...
Yeah.
That was just... Since I couldn't decide, I just watched one episode of each and picked the one that I liked the most. anyway. So I guess, you know, like I said, there's a balance, and I just don't think ReZero had done that balance at all. So I would have wanted to see a little more. But like I said, that's what it looks like we're about to get. So I'm also glad that this happened this early because I inadvertently spoiled myself. Someone mentioned something about how Subaru went back to the human world. And I was just like, well, I guess I got spoiled. And now it's already happened, so I don't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I could have done, I guess, without some of the exposition. I still thought it was okay, but that ending does get me very interested. I wonder if some of my, if I might have liked it more if... It's just going from the dub for all this time and then just suddenly switching back to sub is a bit jarring. And mm-hmm. I find that subs make it, it forces you to pay more attention. But on the other hand, because, you know, you can't just be kind of paying attention. You got to be reading the thing. But the fact right. that you're reading it means that you're distracted from the rest of the screen.
Yeah, I agree. I've never been a fan of reading subtitles, but we don't have much of a choice here, so.
Okay, is there anything else I mentioned? No, that I guess that's all I had to say about that. Then we've got our new show that we've starting up, Tales of the Abyss, Episode 1. I was surprised to discover that this was a subbed, I just assumed there was a dub for this, but apparently no, it's sub only.
Yeah.
So that was a bit of a, surprise for me. So do you want to do this one or do you want me to do it?
You can do it.
Okay. So we've got, Tales of the Abyss. So the plot of this one basically is, so it's about a guy named Luke, although everyone calls him Ruku because, you know, Japanese. I mean, sometimes when the character, I know, you know, in Japanese, there's not a distinction between the R and the L sound, but I'm just in this, in some anime they at least kind of sound like they're trying to do that, where here everyone just goes Ruku.
Mm-hmm.
which keeps making me think of characters named Roku. so he's our main character who's being kind of he's the son of a duke, but he's been constantly cooped up in the castle because he got kidnapped at some point in the past, which also took away his memories or something. So let's see. So then one of the guy who's kind of has been training him in sword stuff, because, you know, he's the main character and this is, well, this was a video game, so of course he has a sword. like what main characters in video games do not have, in RPGs do not have swords? Mario does not count and you know it. And secondary characters like Hector in Fire Emblem don't count either. So don't try that either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm just trying to think. Was there anyone who didn't ever? I mean, I guess some of the Fire Emblem characters, main characters, can use stuff other than swords, but it's always swords. So anyway, so he's training with the guy who's going to leave when this girl just shows up and attacks him. And he defends him from her, but this causes some sort of weird reaction that transports them away. And then she's like, well, I guess we'll just try to get back or something. So they get out of the, so they fight some monsters, which, they fight the monsters. I wonder how many battles that was in the actual video game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just are going to this, to the capital, but then when they're approaching it, something, I don't know. It was very confusing. It looked like something big was happening, like some kind of conflict or whatever, but it wasn't very clear. But of course that's where the episode ends.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought most of the dialogue was kind of boring until that little part at the end where it seemed like something's happening back at the castle. I was like, okay, we're gonna finally get something. Like, that was a little slow start for me. But of course, my favorite character hasn't shown up yet, so.
Oh,
she's my favorite character, not because I played the game and not because I watched it, but because she appeared in a Survivor fanfic. So she was so entertaining in the fanfics, and then I watched clips of her, and it was a pretty accurate description. It was a pretty accurate depiction, that is, of her. So. I look forward to seeing what he's like when he shows up.
Do you know what character are you talking about? I mean, we haven't met him yet, but can you like give me a name or?
Yeah, it starts with an A.
A. Okay. Get that. Yeah. The thing when I was watching this, because I know this is based on a video game, and I was just kind of watching it, was wondering, okay, how did this play out in the game? Like, I'm thinking, okay, is this part where they're doing the fighting? Was this a combat tutorial? I'm just left wondering, because I have not played this game. In fact, I don't know if I've ever seen a anime based on an RPG. I've seen Steins Gate, but since the original was a visual novel, I assume that it was pretty similar outside of the fact that Steins Gate apparently had some branching paths that obviously the anime couldn't go with. But other than that, I assume the experience was pretty similar. But actually, I assume the same is probably kind of true for Ace Attorney, which an anime I haven't watched. But I don't know. I am interested in that. There's actually a this does make me more interested all of a sudden in the fact there's going to be an anime adaptation of The World Ends With You, and I like that game. Although I do wonder how they're going to transition a bunch of the game, because so the thing about an RPG is so much of it is, of course, going around fighting enemies and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's. Yeah, The World Ends With You. It's scheduled for the anime is scheduled for 2021. I don't know if it'll be delayed because of the coronavirus or not, but yeah. Did you ever play The World Ends With You?
Nope.
Okay. Did you ever? Do you know much at all about it?
Nope.
Oh, okay. It was this game for the DS. It was pretty fun. I wonder though for a dub of that. Will they get the original game had voice actors, but they didn't really say much. Most of it, you know, you just had the dialogue appearing text. The bits of actual dialogue you heard were either some, you know, like some statement made, you know, mid, like during the battle, like, you know, at the start or the end of Ed, and a few bits in a few like brief cutscenes. But for the most part, there wasn't much of that. So I don't know. Yeah, they'd probably just get totally different people for it, but yeah. So as a first episode, I feel the first half of it was kind of boring. I suppose it's setting things up, but things did get a bit better in the second half. Although I'm wondering what they're going to be doing in terms of because. They introduced that one female character as the main character's, I don't know, fiancé because of some arranged marriage when they were younger. But then, of course, we've got this suddenly, what's her name? The one who attacked the guy and they ended up being transported. Tyr Grants is what Wikipedia tells me. I can't remember what she said. But she's like on the cover of the DVD, so I assume she's the female lead. So I'm just like wondering, so how is that going to work out? Because in terms of that, is there like going to be some kind of romance? Or because it's weird to set something like that up if you're not going to have some kind of love interest for him, even if it just ends up being that girl. But then it's weird if it's not, you know, the main female. My guess is that all these people, she'll end up joining the party later on, and then much like in Tales of Symphonia, there's a part where you basically, depending on this thing you do in the game, you which character they end up with, like varies on the playthrough. Tales of Symphonia was another game in the series. Except then there was a sequel, so it said, oh, by the way, it was absolutely this character.
I intend on seeing that Tales of Symphonia anime eventually. So,
Oh, there's the Tales of Symphonia anime? Wow.
It's like an OVA or something.
Well, I knew there was something. I just didn't know if it was a full anime or not.
It's an OVA.
Yeah, an OVA series. It consists of, let me see. So they, it says there's four episodes, each of which is 32 to 34 minutes. Then there's another, then there's like some other OVA series, but I'm glancing at this. I'm not sure if those were for the sequel to Symphonia or if they were a continuation of the OVAs, which, cause I'm thinking, wow, could they have really covered the whole series in just that amount of time? Cause that there's a lot that happened in that game. We keep interrupting each other. But I was going to say it was so long there were two discs for it.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, what were you saying?
It doesn't matter.
Oh, okay. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Well, I just wonder if it does, if it did cover the whole thing. But this one is, you know, we're getting the full episode treatment. So yeah, how many episodes are there? We've got 26. So yeah, this is going to cover the whole thing. Yeah, I don't want to look it up cuz I might spoil it, but if I see my brother again who played, I'm going to ask him if that's something that you can like do different, if like the character you end up with can be like vary on the based on the game or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it was a decent enough first episode. I just one would have preferred it was dubbed, and two, I'm still wondering because she just straight up attacked the guy, and then they're transported, and then they're just but she doesn't explain why to him while they're together working and fighting and stuff. I would have thought there would have been a little more of a conversation about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I always feel like anytime you've got an arranged marriage in a form of fiction, it's always passed off as a bad thing. You know, it's like, it's 100% of the time, if you got an arranged marriage as a, you know, a trope, then that means that, you know, it's going to be cast off as something negative, and, you know, it would have been better off if, you know, you could choose for yourself or whatever. So I can kind of guess already that those two characters won't end up together. But you know, I'm more interested in seeing how this party comes about and who's in the party and what the party is even having to do. We'll see what happens from here, but first episode wasn't bad, though it wasn't as good as I hoped. So
Yeah, you were mentioning that. I'm trying to let's see. Was there I'm trying to think. There was it an actual arranged marriage between, there were these two characters in Shaman King, and I know they were, I don't know if it was or not. I just remember, I know there were these two characters who were literally like, you know, engaged, and they were pretty, and they were like, what? Like, they weren't very old in the series. So I'm going to guess that was supposed to be an arranged marriage of some kind. But there's like no problem. They're actually into each other. They end up together at the end of the series. So, like the sequel like features their kids. So, yeah. So that might be an exception, but I haven't really seen enough of the show to, know. Uh oh. Do we have a problem? Do we have a connection problem?
I hear you.
Okay. Well, Skype just did this sort of like, beep, beep, and I was suddenly wondering, uh-oh, did we get, was that a sign that there's a problem? But, okay, if you heard me, then there's no issue. So, okay, so that's Tales of the Abyss. That's our other stuff. I don't know. You want to do the top three or?
Yeah. Number three. Well, I'll start at the top because number one is Shangri-La. Number two is ReZero. And number three is Tales of the Abyss.
Okay. Well, now that I always forget to do this ahead of time. So I ask you to stall for time and still aren't sure. But, yeah, looking at it, I wasn't that really huge on a lot of the stuff we watched. But I suppose then, let's see. Let me just mentally think about this. We'll do, well, ReZero, most of my enjoyment came from the ending. So what I'm going to do is I'll say third is Excel World. For second, I'll give Shangri-La, despite some of the issues, and it was a decent enough ending. And for first, I would put Isekai Quartet.
Okay.
Yeah. Paranoia Agent is just in the state of I don't know. So much depends on the final episode.
Yeah. Paranoia Agent kind of last couple episodes has dropped off in quality, so
I can't decide if I liked or disliked it until I see the conclusion. That's all. It's hard for me to really say whether this was good or bad until I see what its payoff is.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that was our series, then. let's see, was there anything else exciting or new to discuss?
No, not really. Are we going to try to stay up through the whole tsunami thing on Saturday night, given that there might be information given to us? Like, I guess we could watch like the first hour, and if it's like stupid, then we could, you know, just kind of like, okay, not much to see here, you know. But if they're like releasing a new, like having an announcement of a new show every half hour, you know, that might be worth staying up for.
Thing is, the first, whether we want to stay up, I guess, depends on what we start seeing. The question is whether we want to start at Paranoia, the special anime short at 12:30, I assume we'll jump in on. The question is, do you want to do that, or do you want to also watch the Dragon Ball Super episode?
It turns out that whenever I watch it, I end up watching. I have the stuff on in the background. It's just that usually I'm not paying attention during Dragon Ball or Mob Psycho, so it wouldn't be that difficult for me to just, you know, follow along.
You might actually like Mob Psycho this week, because I looked back, because I was talking, oh, you didn't like it? I thought this was one of the episodes I liked. I looked back, I got mixed up as to how long the season was. I did remember liking the last two episodes, and this is the second to last episode. So it might be something you'd enjoy more, although I'm not sure how much of it requires you to, you know, have been paying attention to things before, to what was going on before, but I remember enjoying it at least. I was like, well, this was actually kind of decent. I wish the rest of the series had at least been like this. But let me just double check. We can talk about this after the podcast. We'll see you next time when we'll be we're not, since we kind of decided that we wanted to be watching more, instead of just having like four different shows we were watching, why not go through them faster? So we're going to be watching two episodes of Excel World and two episodes of Tales of the Abyss going forward.
We are?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Oh. That was, I thought that was the plan.
Okay.
So yeah, that's what we'll be doing. So you can see our previous episodes at tsunamitherapy.podbean.com, and we'll see you next time.
Bye, Nee.